We see heating breakthroughs clearing the air for billions. At Emerson, when issues become inspiration, creating a better world isn't just a result, it's a responsibility. Emerson, consider it solved.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, March 2nd. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal. If you've ever used a service like WebMD's Symptom Checker, you've been diagnosed using artificial intelligence. That's important because now, as the coronavirus continues to spread, some people are calling on the makers of these kinds of AI-powered chatbots to add symptoms of the virus to those tools. They want to help take the pressure off of short-staffed doctors and streamline the process of diagnosing people. That's not as easy as it sounds, though. Our tech reporter Parmi Olsen will join us from the UK to explain why the app makers are pushing back. That's after these headlines. Walmart is in talks with Verizon to put 5G equipment in their stores. If a deal is signed, it would bring the next generation service to two locations. The idea would be to use 5G to power Walmart's new digital health service, which it plans to offer to shoppers and employees. The setup would also provide faster wireless connections for the stores and their surrounding communities. The discussion with Verizon is part of a wider effort inside Walmart to turn its thousands of stores into hubs that draw shoppers for experiences and services like medical treatment instead of just groceries and clothes. And the Chinese telecom company Huawei is looking for advisors who can help it get back on the U.S.'s good side. We report that Huawei has approached at least six high-profile figures in Washington. They're trying to navigate regulatory and legal challenges posed by the U.S. government, which wants to exclude Huawei from 5G network rollouts all around the world. Up next, reporter Parmi Olsen joins us to explain why the coronavirus is giving AI tools a run for their money. That's after the break.
We see engineers simulating the future to improve today. At Emerson, when issues become inspiration, creating a better world isn't just a result, it's a responsibility. Emerson, consider it solved.
Last week, global stocks dropped dramatically as more countries around the world reported their first cases of the coronavirus. While the number of new infections started to slow in China, South Korea, Japan, and Italy, and Iran all of a sudden saw huge spikes and deaths. The symptoms of the coronavirus are much like the flu, and in China and some other places, hospitals have been overflowing as people came in to get checked. You might ask, where's the tech? And so did we. There are AI-powered symptom checkers that can lighten the load on doctors, but it turns out that the makers of those tools are pushing back against demands that they update their algorithms to include coronavirus symptoms. Our reporter Parmi Olsen has been looking into this. She joins us from the UK to explain why they're pushing back. Parmi, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
So, Parmi, can we start off? Can you just tell us a little bit about these healthcare bots? How do they actually work?
So the way it works is it's a little bit like these customer service chatbots you might sometimes see in the bottom right-hand corner of a website, like a live chat, and you ask it a question and or it asks you a question and you answer it. It's all automated. In the last sort of 5 years, there have been companies springing up who are trying to build similar bots that offer diagnostic advice for your health. People are so used to Googling a symptom and then coming up with all sorts of possible illnesses, some quite frightening. And the idea was that these kinds of bots can actually give you focused advice that comes from like a really focused knowledge base. And also that this kind of advice could maybe not necessarily replace a doctor, but supplement doctors' offices and kind of keep the worried well away from doctors' offices. So there are quite a few companies in the United States, in the UK especially, where we have the National Health Service, where they're really getting endorsed.
So, I mean, obviously the coronavirus seems like the perfect opportunity for these bots, especially a situation like this where we're worried about people not necessarily knowing if they have a sickness and being able to spread it to a lot of people, like in a hospital or a doctor's office. Why are these bots makers not rushing to update their algorithms?
Yeah, it's a great question. And part of the problem is actually comes from the desire to make these bots really sophisticated by using an approach to artificial intelligence known as machine learning. So some of these companies build these incredibly complicated algorithms and these very complicated knowledge bases. They bring in data about all sorts of illnesses from lots of research from the field of medicine. And actually building something like that takes a really long time. And so when I reached out to some of the companies that build these things, they've kind of said, actually, there isn't enough scientific evidence. There aren't enough peer-reviewed scientific papers about COVID-19 coronavirus that we can kind of accurately update our algorithms for the more sophisticated chatbots. Now, those that make kind of simple chatbots, which are based kind of like on a decision tree or like a yes, no answer that takes you through a flowchart. There's one company built one, a coronavirus checker, they called it. So that's possible. But for those who are kind of really trying to push the cutting edge of diagnostic advice through AI, they're just not able to do it. And one doctor who was kind of helping to run one of these types of companies was saying it could be 6 to 12 months before the information is out there where they can actually update those more sophisticated systems.
So about as long as it takes to develop a vaccine.
That's right. That's right. And at that point, who knows where we'll be in terms of the situation with this particular virus. I mean, and also who knows the extent to which people would even go to these kinds of services and ask questions. But when I've talked to the people who make these symptom checkers, they say they are getting an increase in people, you know, putting in inquiries about flu-like symptoms. So there does seem to be demand to use these bots and generate expertise.
Well, sometimes, I mean, I guess the question is the perfect getting in the way of the good enough? You said there are kind of more simpler solutions to this that are maybe not based on as much sophisticated learning. What's the danger in setting up a system like that?
Perhaps one danger is if you calibrate it in such a way that, you know, even someone who only exhibits very light symptoms or probably does not exhibit the symptoms of having the virus, and yet it suggests they do have it or they should, you know, they should call the doctor's office or go seek help from an emergency room, then that would actually have the opposite effect of what these chatbot designers are trying to do, which is potentially clog up doctor's offices and hospitals. But then, you know, for the companies that are making the sophisticated chatbots, the problem is when they build these things, they need training data. And it takes a long time to get all that data together, just about one illness. And they just don't have that yet.
Are they trying to pull in that data from other sources, from other countries like China, where we do have a lot of information about the illness?
There was one company I spoke to who said they had been looking at the scientific papers that were out there. They didn't speak specifically to any particular region like China. So some companies are working on it. But I think the information right now is so disparate that they can't really hard code anything into their systems. And they certainly can't push it out to people because this is healthcare. It's not like a typical consumer app. This is something that could really have a big impact on people's on lives. So they have to make sure they get it right. And they're being regulated to get it right.
You're in the UK, and the National Health Service has actually championed these kinds of bots in the past. What are they advising people to do right now?
Well, it's kind of ironic that actually they're one of the apps that is powering a kind of symptom checker for the NHS. Had to put a banner on the app saying that people should call the phone line. So here in the UK, we have an advice line. It's called 111. You dial it and you speak to a person who is actually following a bunch of questions. It's kind of like an algorithm, but it's like a flowchart. And it's that actual flowchart underpins some of the chatbots that you can go to as well. But the companies that power, one company that powers a chatbot for the NHS actually said they had to update their app to recommend people go to the phone line and speak to a human instead.
All right. Well, still talking to humans over here. Reporter Parmi Olsen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. Don't forget that if you like this podcast, you can rate and review us in your app store. And if you want more news about Wall Street Journal podcasts, you can follow us on Twitter at WSJ Podcasts. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.